Yo, 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 what up? It's your boy Colby Mack, and this is the Colby Told Me podcast. Yo, whenever I want to deep dive with the Mack himself, where I get to amplify my movie reviews for your listening pleasure, would you please consider giving your boy a follow? I'm on all the socials at Colby Told Me on Twitter, Instagram, and sometimes I'm on Facebook at Colby Mack. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. This is episode 18, and yo, Guy Ritchie delivers the war film of 2024. I know that's hyperbolic, but it is what it is. It's a war film that gets it right. Here's your non-spoiler-ish review of the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. So, yo, the British military recruits a small group of highly skilled soldiers to strike against German forces behind enemy lines during World War II. Sound familiar? Yes, I know a lot of you people are going to try to, kind of compare this to Inglourious Basterds. And I think you wouldn't be wrong for wanting to do that, but this does it a very different way. A very Guy Ritchie way, right? This is produced by Lionsgate and Amazon, and it's absolutely everything that you have come to love about a Guy Ritchie film. It's got action. It's got this kind of broguish, swagger and flair to it. It's got espionage and a big ensemble. I really enjoy that this movie feels real. It doesn't feel like it was shot in a soundstage and just stuck in this computer that we're, actors are playing off against props and stuff like that. This feels lived in, and not necessarily just because it's, from history, right? World history. But I think that commitment to the wardrobe, to the makeup, to a lot of the choreography, I dug it. And this feels lived in, and it feels different because I think the sound design and score was working really well. It's jazzy, it's Western, and the cinematography help accentuates all of that. It is what it is. I think that Guy Ritchie's always been great to be able to have some snappy dialogue, move around with the camera of these characters, just kind of, living in all these different spaces, and then having some bang up action to be able to take advantage of the best punches and shots to the head and all this other stuff. It's great. And the editing, it really moves. No one really gets cheated. And I think everybody gets a moment inside this film, and you can feel the urgency of where we're at with this mission. So I believe in this world and these characters. I mean, yo, I don't know nothing from nothing, but if you tell me this is a true story, I'm with it. So yes, we've heard this build as Guy Ritchie's Inglourious Basterds, and that may be a bit unfair because it's not as good as that movie. Like, the writing isn't on par at all, but I don't think that that was ever the goal from Ritchie and this team. And yeah, we're killing Nazis in the most brutal fashion possible. And sure, that's about all in regards to like how close it is to Inglourious Basterds. But absolutely sign me up. The classic Guy Ritchie-isms are at work. And I love the mechanizations of like these characters and how they feel and how they interconnect with one another. You got Henry Cavill, who plays Gus March Phillips, the leader of this ragtag team. And man, I miss this man. He's my Superman, the leader, suave. You root for him without trying. That voice. He just looks like I want to be under his leadership. He's got this gravitational pull to him. He's, it's interesting. His character, and I always love how at the front man of a lot of the films since he came onto the scene, he could be able to apply these little character moments that I like a lot. I love his choices. And I think between whether the script or it's him or a marriage of both, it's great. There's this kind of Rocket Raccoon-ness to him. And I think throughout the entire film, it almost feels like a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And then you put him playing outside of Alan Ritchson, who plays Anders Lassen, the muscle of this unit. Like, what more evidence do we need that Alan Ritchson should be Batman? He is. He's physically imposing. He's an absolute unit all film long. He is tear him up. I'm telling you, bro, this guy is about that action. And I think the accent was a little here and there, but, it's just he was good. And I love the space that he occupies throughout the entire film. It was super satisfying. And he also got Hero Fiennes. Tiffin, yo, where did he add the Tiffin to his last name? I've always just known him as Hero Fiennes, but he's the kid in this, and he was like his name. He was fine. You got Henry Golding playing Freddy Frogman Alvarez, the demolition guy of this group, and he was cool, but did we forget about his little thing at the end? You know, that whatever happened after the mission thing at the end? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I missed it. Somebody tell me. Could be wrong, but you know who I miss? Alex Pettifer. He plays Joffrey Appleyard, and he's the strategist, and like, I don't know what's happened, but where's my I Am Number 4 sequel at? Like, I need to know. I know I'll never get it, but I'll take the chance wherever it presents itself to exclaim how rad that movie was, and I don't know what happened to Alex Pettifer. Like, he was there, and then he was gone. Like, was there some salacious shit that I'm unaware of? Like, was that Beauty and the Beast movie that he made with Vanessa Hudgens? Like, did that kill his career? Because I really wanted a lot more of him. And like, they all have moments as a team, and I like that. But like, I could also like see, like, if we took that a step further to go deeper with these characters, it would elevate the entire film if there was that particular commitment to like really like fleshing out the dimensionality of these characters, right? And in addition, you got your bad guy, Thiel Schweiger. He plays Heinrich Luhr. He's the bad guy in this, and he's a Nazi bad guy who was also in Inglourious Basterds as a Nazi bad guy. I mean, he's no Christoph Waltz, but he's devilish, and you can't wait for him to die. I'm not saying that that happens or not. I don't want to spoil the movie, but like, yeah, maybe that's another connecting point to Inglourious Basterds. And shout out to Issa Gonzalez. She plays Marjorie Stewart, the bombshell inside of this group, and can she and like Audrey Arjona like do a movie together at this point? Like, I just want to make sure that they're not the same. I'm joking, but they really do have a lot of similarities to them, you know? And she's great. She's got this commanding presence. I love the commitment to the accent. She's a lot of fun. She's super vivacious and she's a good time on screen. And I like the fact that she is really doing some things where she's not trying to have to play off of Henry Cavill. They actually didn't really occupy that much space between them, which I found interesting, but she did with my man Bads Olusamaoku. I'm getting better and better at this. He plays Harry. He's the inside man. My guy, he's the mover and shaker inside this world. And shout out to Danny Sapani. He plays Kamli Kalu, who's like the outside man, the Prince of Lagos, and just all the interconnecting pieces of this ensemble were a lot of fun. You could tell they were having a great time. And I like that just by their presentation, it made me want so much more from them. And then you kind of got the more administration team from like Cary Elwes and Freddie Fox. So I guess I didn't realize what the spirit of like what birthed the Ian Fleming got inspired by this mission to birth James Bond and stuff like that. And like, it was good, you know, shout out to the guy who played Churchill. Like, all these things were good. And I think that the writing was absolutely fine for what the goal of this film was. It was very clear, not hard to follow at all what everything was, but then also it was very easy. And when I mean it's very easy, I'm not going to try to fact check a damn thing, but like, this was a little too easy. Like, it made it seem the plot armor was heavy in this film, but you're still going to have fun. And that's the most important thing, you know? So like, yeah, is the conflict conflicting enough? That's the rub. You know, everything happens way too easy and it's okay. There's contrivances and it's a little glaring, but like, I can, because I'm having such a good time, I can forgive all that stuff. And that's the thing. This is a good time. This is a fun ride. And you can tell that everyone is also having a good time on set. But this movie was never about trying to change our minds and hearts to try to win awards. But I would like more from this movie. Like, I can see an additional, like, you know, I still haven't got to the Gentleman series on Netflix, but I will. I promise I will. I can definitely see more adventures from this particular crew in like a more episodic movie series. Like, these are some great characters and I just want more from them. So like, definitely go out, watch Guy Ritchie's The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, because it just, it continues that like distinguished brand of brutality that you are familiar with him, and you have familiar faces, and they make even more colorful characters with those faces, and this is just a bullet-riddled action war comedy that knows exactly what it is, it knows who it's made for, and it's just this pure adrenaline-fueled Nazi-destroying fun from start to finish. Kobe Toby rating for this film is a strong 7 out of 10. It is directed by Guy Ritchie. It is written by Paul Tanasi, Eric Johnson, Arash Amel, Guy Ritchie, and it's based on the book by Damian Lewis. It is starring Henry Cavill, Alan Ritchson, Isaac Gonzalez, Babs Olusanya-Mukun, Danny Sapani, Henry Golding, Alex Pettifer, Hero Finds Tiffin, Freddie Fox, Rory Kinnear, and Carrie Ulz. It is now playing in theaters, I'm sure, still everywhere. Well, that'll do it for this one. Can't wait to get you the next one. Until then, like, subscribe, comment, and share. Thanks for rocking with me. And when they ask you where you heard it from, tell them Kobe told me. Peace.